Hi, my name is Damor and you're listening to Stories That Touch on Jamit FM. Today's episode is titled Letting the Sleeping Dogs Lie, and the quote of the day is from Mitch Albom. Nothing haunts us like the things we don't say. Sit back, grab a milkshake and enjoy the ride.
Miss Sholaye Ayodele, is it?
He asks, his voice sounding as uninteresting as it looks. Yes, sir.
Good to meet you. Have a seat, please.
Thank you, sir.
So, tell me about yourself.
I'm a graduate of accounting from...
I see that in your resume. Tell me something that's not in it.
Okay. I weigh 57 kg.
Really? Is this a joke?
What? No, I actually weigh 57 kg.
Job. Is it a joke?
Oh, God. No, sir. I'm sorry. No.
Good. So come back when you're ready.
What?
Have a good day, miss.
That's when you wake up to the sound of the morning crow. It's a dream. A bloody dream. Yet you shiver. The initial plan before the dream had been to go to Mr. Tunji's office after your CDS program. But now, you're not sure you'll be doing that, or if you should. So, for each step that you take from your bedpost to the kitchenette to perform your morning water drinking ritual, you chant, go, don't go, go, don't go, go, don't go. By the time you reach the kitchenette, your right foot marks the end of your journey, and the universe says, go. You breathe a sigh of relief and set about preparing for the day. When you bump into Tolu during CDS, just after all the PEP members assemble to sign the attendance sheet, your heart skips a bit. Since the date night, you'd neither been able to see nor speak with him. A part of you wants to ignore him. And in fact, you almost do. Until he smiles. He has the fucking nerve to smile at you. Hey girl. Goodness, it's been a while. Good to see you again. Really? Good to see me again. You smile back. A smile so questioning it almost hurt. And you hurry past him. 1001 suggestions itch your tongue, but you bite them back. You're not sure which to start with or end with without seeming desperate. But you want to know, you deserve to know. Who expends so much time and energy trying to get you to agree to a date and then ghosts on you afterwards? After a glorious date of laughter, banter, touching and holding hands, who dares ghost after kissing goodnight and why? Was it you? Was it him? Did the food leave a bad taste in his mouth, or was it you that left the formidable taste? You can feel his eyes on your back as you walk away. You wish he would call you back or grab your arm like they do in the movies. He does not. You wish you would have the courage to turn back and ask him why. Why was it you and then not you again? But you don't. And there goes another day without the answers you crave. The interview went well. Or so you think, at least, instead of the usual, we'll get back to you shortly. His parting words had been, I have had an excellent time chatting with you, lady. Make sure to call me as soon as you're done with service. Just before you travel, is that okay? I mean, what could be better? Although, a part of you feels your success had a little more to do with Benga's referral than your own wit and smart mouth. Well, you're pleased with yourself anyway. Once you reach home, you switch on your phone to call Benga and thank him for the opportunity. The number of messages that stream in quick successions almost overwhelm you. Most are from your sister. You had completely forgotten that you had both been talking before you switched off your phone 2 nights ago. So you call her first. He rings through the first time, but she disconnects the call. You try a second time.
Shebi, you know it's selfish of you to just go off like that whenever you feel like, Abi?
She says in response to your hello. I'm sorry, you reply, knowing she was very right to be mad at you.
Are you really sorry? That's what you say every time, Grace. Every time, but sorry does not fix things. You need to grow the hell up and stop making the whole world about you. You can't just go off like that whenever you like, as if you don't have people to answer to.
You are exhausted. You know where it's all coming from. But you hate that in this part of the world where you come from, care tastes like a first meal. You want to tell her you did not ask her to care about you. So how does she dump the betrayal that comes from that on you? You want to tell her to get over herself and give you some space. But what you say instead is, I'm sorry, Sister Tammy, because you are a Yoruba girl. Because you're an African. Because where you come from, you're not allowed to be mad. And when you're allowed to be mad, you're not allowed to show it. Especially when the other person who has inflicted hurt on you, or at least attempted to do so, is older than you.
Mommy wants to talk to you,
she says. That comes to you as a surprise. You had not expected your mother to have visited your sister on a Wednesday afternoon, or your sister to have visited your mother out of the blues. Plus, you are terrified. Does your mother know already? But you say, okay. Followed by, good afternoon, Mommy. As soon as you perceive the exchange of the mobile phone from one hand to the other.
What is good about the afternoon?
Comes her response, sharp, injurious to your eardrums, African. You imagine that if you had been in her presence, that question would have been conferred with a smack across your face. You're thankful for barriers. Ma, I'm sorry I've not been in touch, Ma. I've been busy and I've not been feeling quite well too.
Why would you not have been busy and not been feeling quite well too? When all you now spend your time on is boys, you left us worried sick about you. No calls, no check-ins, nothing. We could not even reach you. And you're telling me it is because you have been busy. Have you no sense at all? You just thank your stars that you called home before we came to Lagos to see you. You would have known the kind of stuff I'm made of.
Wait, what? Boys? You know it's your landlady who has called your mother, but you say, I don't understand what you meant about boys, Ma, but I'm sorry I've not been reachable. I've been feeling very depressed.
You cannot understand and you will not understand. Why will you not be depressed when today is a black boy that visits, tomorrow is a fair one? Sha, don't bring any nonsense disease into this house, oh. Don't bring any shameless pregnancy into this house like your sister too, because I will disown you. God will help you and your husband will not bring gift to the house after the first night together because he did not meet you a virgin. You will see the version of me you have never seen before. I cannot have you children behaving unruly as though you do not even have upright parents to emulate. What the hell is wrong with you?
You are red with rage. You are thick sick. You want to say, but it's only two men that I've ever visited. You want to say, and I have never had sex with any of them, even though I almost did. Once. You want to say, what's the point anyway? What's the point of being a good girl, playing it safe and keeping the high men safe until you meet Mr. Wright? How has it helped you if after all your good girlness, your husband doesn't respect you enough to keep his shit together? If your husband can stoop so low to do it with the maid? You want to ask, how did you end up so unlucky after doing all the right things? But you say nothing.
I hear your POP is on the 28th, she continues, after a brief pause. I have booked the ticket for your return on the 29th. See you then. Odabo.
Your hand feels like rubber, limp, as you attempt to put the phone down. It must have been all that energy radiating from Mama's voice that got you exhausted. Now you just want to lie in bed and close your eyes until sleep finds you. But what finds you is worse. Or maybe it is you that found it. Because staying still in bed proved more hectic and unachievable than you imagined, as snippets of that once you almost had sex with Gwenga flooded your mind and left you thirsty with want. You picked up your phone to call Gwenga. You wanted to call Sam. You wanted to think about Sam touching your body and lighting your nerves on fire, but it was Binga that came to your mind because Sam has never even attempted to kiss you, much less touch you such that his hands linger and leave an etch, a memory. And for someone who can live with a friends with benefit relationship, you wondered why it has never crossed his mind. So, you called Binga, but his phone rang endlessly. And as the rings stretched on, so did your wanting and worry and uncertainty and anger. Restless, you logged back into Facebook after so long and attempted to stalk him. You had blocked him before, 2 years ago, after the breakup, because you didn't want to remember him or be remembered by him. But there was hardly a need for that anymore. You wanted to know how he felt about what transpired between you both the last time you saw. Maybe he would have ranted about it, although it's very unlikely that he would. Maybe he would have left a hint. His page, however, left nothing recent to commit to memory or anything to massage your emotional turbulence, as his last post was dated 2 months ago and it was a tag to a football game. Just before you closed the webpage, you saw something that stayed with you. His relationship status showed that he is married, and his engagement day cover photo and the gorgeous child on his profile picture bore witness to the new revelation that now sting the back of your eyelids. As you sit back in bed, deciding which emotion to feel, you wonder when he was going to tell you about it. If he was going to tell you about it. And that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on this show, please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes. Also, we would like to hear your thoughts on the story. Until next time, my name is Damor, and you just listened to Stories That Touch on Jamit FM.